This is Amarins.
Hi, everybody. This is Arthur, and welcome to episode 19 of my podcast. And joining me today is my very special guest, Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, Nigel.
That's what I would do, too. Very funny, aren't you? Yeah, so Mike Hipp wins the contest. He guessed correctly as to who was going to be my special guest. We thought about making it the Prime Minister of New Zealand, but she was busy this week doing something important, probably.
So it's the Queen of New Zealand.
Well, one of them anyway. So I thought that we would start with a few biographical things so that people can get to know you better. Why are you grinning at me like that? Let's start with an easy one. Where were you born?
Metemata, New Zealand.
Want to give some vague idea where that is?
It's right in the heart of the Waikato, which is in Dairy Country, somewhere around the upper middle part of New Zealand.
Okay.
Very rural. My parents were share milkers.
Well, you're also part of a large family, of course.
Yep.
And lived in a lot of rural areas.
Yep. Seven kids.
So, describe some of that. What was it like?
It was... Well, I was... Where to start? My earliest memories weren't rural. They were in small town New Zealand. I lived in a little town called Waikaria, and it was in the King Country, and my father was a prison officer. And so that's some of my early childhood memories. And then we moved to a seaside resort town called Coromandel, and I really grew up there. So I didn't grow up in where I was born. We left and went to Coromandel, so small town New Zealand, but not rural, country rural.
And Coromandel town is on the Coromandel Peninsula too.
Yep.
Which is a major holiday and whatnot destination for Aucklanders in particular, right?
Yeah, I am very big seaside. Holiday destination for Aucklanders during the summer.
Yeah. And how many people are normally in Coromandel town, or at least then?
Then? Between 800 and 900 people.
Big town.
Yeah, big town, New Zealand.
So what was the big smoke?
The big smoke was Thames.
And how many people were in Thames in those days?
About 5,000-6,000.
Big city.
Yeah, big town. But we used to come to Auckland. We used to go to Auckland when we were kids. I remember traveling to Auckland to do our Christmas shopping. And yeah, that was a big deal because, you know, I remember when I was growing up, one of our neighbours coming over to ask my mother how to get to Auckland. She'd never driven to Auckland. Her husband had been to Auckland, but by boat, because he was a fisherman, but she'd never driven to Auckland, you know. So yeah, it was small town New Zealand, but it wasn't isolated because we were across the Gulf from Auckland. We got all the radio stations and television stations from Auckland.
And so you're a cosmopolitan small town.
Yeah, and also because all the Aucklanders came to our town during Christmas time, it was boom time, and so you were exposed to a lot of people from Auckland. So it wasn't tiny town. New Zealand, it was more sort of resort visitor, like destinational New Zealand, so it was quite fun.
What did people do in the off season?
Well, when I was growing up there, tourism was Aucklanders packing up their families and going to towns like Coromandel and staying in a tent for 4 to 6 weeks over the summer break. So it wasn't, Hawaii destination summertime. It was really old-time New Zealand where people used to have their batches and their tents and go camping and that sort of thing. So so really the peak season brought an increase in business, but generally people did the same thing. You know, there was enough because Coromandel was a a little hub town. So the there were smaller places than Coromandel that saw Coromandel as a big town to go to do their shopping every Friday and things like that. So it was serviced a large rural community. So that was enough to keep the town going. And my father worked for the government, so we were never had any of those pressures of the ebb and flow of the tourist trade. So
and the summer holiday break was longer then, wasn't it? I mean, the country basically shut down for a period, didn't it?
Yeah, the summer holidays started in early December and finished early February.
It's long.
Yeah, and I mean, it was great when you were a kid. It seemed like forever. You know, it seemed like a lifetime when you broke in December for from school, and then you just. I mean, I always often had I actually always had jobs, so I worked often during the holidays. But, you know, there were times I remember getting on my bike and riding to the beach and spending the whole day at the beach and that sort of thing. So it was great fun as a kid.
When you had your jobs, what sorts of things did you buy with the money you made?
I remember buying my bike, a bike. And I remember buying, one of the first things I ever bought was an electric blanket. Because we went a very well-to-do family. Even though my father worked for the government, we had, there were seven kids in my family, so...
It didn't go very far.
Yeah, you had to stretch things. And so we had hot water bottles when I was growing up. And
That you took to bed with you to warm up.
Do you not have hot water bottles in America?
Well, some people might, but I never did. My family didn't.
Yeah, they're like rubber.
Yeah. No, I know what they are.
Yeah, it's rubber bottles full of...
I never knew anybody.
...boiling water and...
Yeah, I just never knew anybody to use it for that.
Yeah. Well, that's what the poor people do in New Zealand. and my mother still does, I think. No, she's actually, Mum, if you're listening, she does have an electric blanket these days. But I remember when I was a kid, that was the thing I wanted most. So my first pay, I bought an electric blanket. And I remember it cost me $11 for an electric blanket.
Which would have been a good bit of money there.
Yeah, from the local, it wasn't a hardware, but it was, it was one of those, I don't know if you have those in America, in small town America, but you had this general store which sold everything from nuts and bolts to electric blankets. and even records. I remember I bought my first record from there.
What was that?
David Soul.
Oh my God.
Yes, that was before he beat his wife.
Oh, that's all right then.
But, yeah, moving right along. I bought this electric blanket. I know this. You don't want my interview to be about electric blanket. But it was a big deal for me because I was the only one in our family that had an electric blanket. And I remember putting the electric blanket on the first night and turning it on high and lying on the bed and thinking, oh, this is heaven. So for a kid, it was amazing. So all my brothers and sisters were freezing at night with these ridiculous hot water bottles, and I had this electric blanket. So, yeah, that was my first purchase. And I went on to buy lots of bits and pieces like that. I remember I bought myself a nightlight so I could read at night and... some funny little things, and I always wanted those sorts of things, so I was able to buy them. So
a comfortable life.
Yeah. Well, I like to shop. That's probably where it started.
You came by it early.
Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is that New Zealand was quite different then.
Yeah, very different. It was, we've talked about this before, you and I. When I was growing up, New Zealand was almost a socialist state. You couldn't buy whiteware, for instance, if you wanted to buy
appliances.
If you wanted to buy an appliance, like a fridge or something like that, then you used to have to order it. You couldn't just go down to a shop and buy it because, the government sort of monitored everything that was done. And so farmers, who were the backbone of the New Zealand economy, were...
And still are in many ways.
Yeah, they are, but more from a commodity perspective, not as a class of people. So farmers had the first... You usually went to the top of the list to getting goods and everything like that. So it was a really different... I mean, it was a great country to grow up in. It's a great
life, you know, as a kid. There were, I don't remember anything like crime or anything like that, but I suppose, you know, most kids think of the world like that. But, you know, we had one television channel when I was a kid.
Was it black and white still when you were a kid?
Yeah, it was still black and white. We had one television channel.
This is more recent than we think. We actually haven't said how old you are.
And we're not going to. But, you know, we had one television channel, and it was state run, and it started at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, no, actually, I think it started about 3 for the kiddies, you know, so they had things like Playhouse or something like that for kids. And it finished generally during the week, would finish sort of 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and then not start again until the next afternoon. So, and that was television. And I mean, it was quite possible that people were saying, oh, well, we don't need television to start any earlier or go on any later than that, because people don't need to watch it. It's that sort of attitude. But it was very state run. Pubs opened closed at 6 o'clock in the evening.
So they used to try to get really drunk really fast.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a really different country, and it wasn't until the Labor government, in 84, was voted in, because at the time we had a Prime Minister called Robert Muldoon, commonly called Piggy Muldoon, and he actually had put a price and wage freeze on the country, and his economic policies were so strict that New Zealand just ground to a halt. And when the Labor government came in, well, you know some of this history, the Labor came, Longies, Labor government came in and found that the country was basically bankrupt. And so we went through in the 80s, in the mid to late 80s, and continuing on to the 90s, we went through the most radical economic and social changes that any country probably has ever been through. And so we went from one of the most closed economies in the world to one of the most open economies in the world within a 10-year period. And so New Zealand's really different from a social and an economic perspective than what we ever were. So, yeah. I think I'm glad we've still retained some of the small town, the small country sort of feel that goes with it, because it feels more community than...
I was hearing on Michael Moore on Democracy Now! Podcast today. I listened to it, actually. And he was talking specifically about healthcare, because he's promoting his new documentary, Sicko. And he was saying that what he wants to see in the U.S. is to move the U.S. away from a me-centered society to a we-centered society. But it seems to me that New Zealand is a we-centered society, because there are a lot of things that are done as a community.
Yeah, and I think something that's always been part of our culture is, you know, live and let live, that it is about community and it is about maintaining your links and ties to family and in a positive way as well, not in what tends to come out of some of the religious right around family, which is code for anti-gay and anti-anything that they don't believe in.
Well, historically, the religious right doesn't do well in New Zealand.
No, and never has, because, you know, that live and let live, it's like, well, you know, you can have your beliefs, but don't try and push those beliefs onto me. And that's always been the way. And I think that is part of, you know, we've never been a one... denomination country either. You know, I remember when I grew up in the town I grew up in, you know, in a town of 800 people, you know, there was the Presbyterian Church and the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and the Methodist Church, and no one really, you know, people, they were just churches people just went to, and sometimes they swapped over and You know, I mean, there was always a little bit of mystique about the Catholic Church because I'm not Catholic and I didn't grow up Catholic. So it's like, what do they do in there? yeah, because they meet on different days and things like that. But, you know, and I always wanted to do the whole confession thing.
Why, did you have a lot to confess, did you?
yeah. Isn't that what this is about?
No. Well, taking all that into account then, your own past and what you know of New Zealand's past and things like that, if you were to try to describe it to somebody now, what would you say New Zealand's like?
I think it's a fairly open, tolerant, good place to live. It's, yeah, things are good. I mean, things are good for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a really good standard of living, and we have all the things that we want. We have we've got a government in place that recognises the value in diversity, and you know that's a good place to be when you're a gay man. I think we have a government who, even though it wants to ensure that we remain part of the world economy, there are still the safety nets in place for the disadvantaged. You know, we love people who are different, and that's why we enjoy visitors coming here. So I mean, it probably sounds really rosy because I mean we do have shit going on here.
Well, every country does, I
yeah. But you know, overall things are pretty good. It's a, you know.
Well, then, what would you say is the best thing and the worst thing about New Zealand?
I think. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, the best thing for me is it's where I feel most. I feel at home. You know, that's the best thing for me. It's a personal thing. I mean, I've lived overseas. I've lived in Australia, and I've travelled to a number of countries. And I still love coming home. You know, I get a buzz out of even when I go on holiday. I get a buzz out of actually coming home. I love. The country, and you know, sometimes I think New Zealanders can think a little bit small, but yeah, generally I like it. You know, there's everything that we would ever want here, including family and friends and all of those sorts of things. So,
So the sometimes thinking small, would you say that's the worst thing about New Zealand?
No, I mean there are probably worse things. I think what would be the worst thing? We don't have Sci-Fi Channel.
At least not yet.
No, well, yeah, you know, that shit pisses me off because, you know, the worst bit about it is that it's not because we don't... I'm clicking the pen, sorry. yeah, it's not... It's about population. You know, we don't have the critical mass sometimes that allows us to have things like that, you know. So, I mean, we get all the sci-fi programs that America gets.
Sooner or later,
but you know, it's just like
that's
we're an
thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we're an afterthought to some of those.
And yet, sometimes they'll have a worldwide release of a movie. Everything opens the same day.
Exactly. Yeah, and so. Generally, movies aren't a problem.
Not as much. Yeah.
No, television is the bitch because you know, depending on who's you know, it really depends on probably the purchases of the television stations that are owned in New Zealand, whether they buy off one station and get the good stuff or not. So yeah, some of that pisses me off, but then there's the internet, so
not that anybody would take advantage of such
things. Absolutely not me,
just because it exists.
Yes,
but it's good to know that just in case we ever need it, it's there.
Yes,
in the unlikely event.
Yes.
Well, considering that that some people may not know all that much about New Zealand apart from what you've just said, of course, if there was one thing... Is there one thing that you would like people to know about New Zealand? Other than what you said.
Other than what I've said?
Or in addition to, maybe I should say.
That we're not part of Australia.
That's a good start.
Yeah, what's that about, you know? Yeah, that we are a unique country, and that just because we are close to Australia, we're very different. Mm. You know, it's that whole thing like Canadians and Americans. You know, you'll all look and smell the same, but you're not the same. And it's the same with us, you know. We might look and smell the same as Australians, but we're not the same. They're very different form of government, very different culture.
Traditions.
Traditions and very different...
accents.
Yeah, very different accents, thank you very much. And we're really different, we come from different backgrounds, you know. Australia is comes from a very British, white, hard working class stock. And its immigration has been focused around Southern Europeans, so Greek and Italians. And then in later years, Lebanese, Vietnamese, Chinese. So they've grown in a different way.
The Asians were relatively recent, weren't they?
Asians were relatively recent. Whereas New Zealand comes from a different English stock, more of a colonial colonist, people wanting to forge a new country.
A better England, I've heard some people say.
Yeah, and also we have deep Polynesian roots, because when the English got here, they found that the Maori were here. And so, though they tried to eradicate the native population, what they found was that they didn't have enough people to do that. And so, you know, New Zealand and Maori here in New Zealand were the first indigenous peoples that the British actually signed a treaty with to give them self-determination. And so, as far as nation...
And that was the Treaty of Waitangi,
yeah,
in 1840.
Yeah. And so our self-determination has altered the way our country's grown up. We've grown up very multicultural. We have instilled into our constitution the rights of the indigenous people, and we're represented, we have special representation in our parliament
and local government
and so there's been safeguards built in through that those treaties, and and I think that's contributed to a more inclusive country. You know, I remember stories that people who were here that were during the war, you know, that my parents would tell me about, and that you would hear about American Marines who would come here during the war, during the Second World War. And some of them would be from the South, and they would go into bars and clubs and pubs here, and Māori people would be in there. And they were shocked that there was these dark-skinned people in the pubs, whereas that was, you know, that's always been the case here. And so,
and intermarriage as well.
And intermarriage, yeah. I mean, look at my parents. My father's Maori, and my mother is comes from, well, her father was born in England, and, you know, in some parts of the United States at the time my parents married, they would not have been allowed to marry because my father was
black
and my mother's white, and it wouldn't have gone down well in the South. In those days. And so, yeah, and we've never lived with those same cultural issues around race and even gender as well, you know.
Well, people would probably want to know if you, as a Māori person, have personally experienced any racial or similar bias that you can think of.
Not overtly. You know, no abusive racism, never. I can't ever remember experiencing that at all. There are some, you know, there's always some level of, in any society, there's always some levels of racism, you know, and there'll be, you know, the jokes where people will tell certain jokes, and the butt of the joke might be Māori people for you know, a perceived way or a stereotype that has and is part of how you know our culture is seen. But no, I haven't. You know, I've never felt. I've had the same opportunities as anyone else in this country. And I think, you know, and generally, when I think about my career, there's been some advantages to me being Māori, because I'm in an industry where people that you know, tend to work with seem to come from very diverse cultures. So I'm not seen as the establishment, yeah, or the white establishment in any way. So that's always helped me in a lot of ways.
So that would help you in dealing with people who are, say, Polynesian or from, say, India or somewhere like that too, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's interesting because I actually got an email from a fellow expat in Wellington,
yeah,
who was asking about that very subject, about because she had noticed that there had been some antipathy or whatever among European descended New Zealanders toward Maori and Polynesians as well, and she Pacific Islanders as well. I mean, and she seemed to think that there was also a friction between Maori and Pacific Islanders. Have you experienced that at all?
No, and I remember you talking to me about this, and I haven't. I've when I think about where that perception might come from, I can only assume that there's that friendly rivalry that's gone on over the years, and it does between my Polynesian island friends and myself, you know, that we might have each other on about different things from our cultures, but it's a friendly rivalry. I've never ever really sensed any aggravation. I mean, you know, individuals, I mean, we have gangs just like other countries, you know, where we might have Black Power gang, but it's, you know, that's about being in gangs. It's not about race.
Yeah.
It's a different and a strange.
And we've also been invited to like Samoan weddings and things that too. There's a couple, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've come as my partner to when I, you know, because I've had people who work for me that are Polynesian. And so, you know, traditionally, I'd be invited to weddings and 21st and things like that, because from a culture perspective, you know, having your manager there is quite an honour. So, but you're invited as my partner as well. So yeah, you've been part of that. And so yeah, no, I've never experienced it, and I don't consider myself that sheltered. Maybe I'm very optimistic, but yeah.
Well, actually, that sort of brings me.
I'm just looking at the little box and the numbers ticking over.
Okay. Just seeing how long we've got. Oh, that's about right.
This doesn't seem very exciting. When Archer gets his boyfriend on, they have lots of laughs.
Well, that's because they're talking about non-serious things, and you insisted that I have questions for you.
Maybe you should have primed me with alcohol or something like that.
Oh, like you'd have any.
Oh, I might have a sticky wine.
Well, now you tell me.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next time then. Maybe we'll do a drunk cast next time.
Maybe we'll have to get Tom to ask me exciting questions. And I can flirt with him.
What, you can't flirt with me? Is that what you're saying?
I don't have to flirt with you.
Oh, that's true. After a few years, it just becomes old.
Well, for all anybody knows, we might both be sitting here naked anyway.
Well, that's true. They wouldn't have any way of knowing that, would they?
No.
Well, I guess what I'm going to jump ahead then. I was going to ask you a different set of questions, but with time and what, I think I'll
move right along.
Yeah.
You could probably edit out some of that bullshit I just said before, anyway.
Well, we'll see. Because I've got more time to edit it, as it turns out.
Ah, good.
We've gone to America twice.
Yes.
On holiday.
Yeah.
What was your first impression of America?
Well, that's hard to say because it's been a while since we've been there. But first impressions would be, I don't know. Each town we went to was different. I can't say there'd be one first impression, except that I hate it. LAX.
Oh, who doesn't?
It's a terrible airport, and none of the security, you know, none of the people. You know what my first impression was? I remember it now, was how rude and uninviting the immigration service were in America, you know? The guy just said, passport please, you know, gave him a passport, and I said, oh, how are you? And didn't talk, wouldn't chat with me, just not interested. And I thought,
they were no better to me either.
Yeah, oh, citizen. No. But I mean, I thought, what a welcome to the visitors.
It's probably even worse now.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to be fingerprinted and all that other stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But, I thought that was sad because, I mean, America doesn't need tourists to survive, but, you know, there's something nice about having different people from different countries.
Yeah, and you also...
in your town, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think first impressions was, my God, you know, how rude. But I loved, you know, being in America. I loved the food. That was great. There's lots of it, and it was big portions. But...
fatty.
And fatty, yeah. Succulents, what we call it. Oh, the phone's ringing.
I'll just pause this. Okay, we're back. Now, before the phone rang, we were talking about America.
Yes.
And I was just about to ask you, what was the best thing about America?
You, darling.
But you already had me.
I loved visiting the US. It's a fun place to be. It's like Disneyland everywhere. No, it's just, I don't know. I love being in a foreign country, especially when you're a visitor from somewhere else. You know, it's all so foreign and different and yet familiar because you see America on television and movies all the time. So that was, yeah, I found it exciting. I loved being there, and I loved, the people were really nice, you know. People were interested and interesting.
Especially when you spoke, I bet they were interested.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who were, I mean, not so much in Los Angeles, because I think they get a lot of tourists, you know, with Disneyland and Universal Studios and things like that.
Hollywood.
Yeah, well, when we traveled to sort of more east, the more east we got, the less likely that people had ever met someone or saw someone from New Zealand. And so that was quite fun because, you know, you were forever ever having conversations about the differences and some of the things. So, yeah, no, I liked being part of, being able to go inside people's houses and homes, because when you go to a country, often you're doing the touristy things. But it was really quite nice to be part of the family and be able to see, you know, be able to stay in an American home and experience things, except for the toilets.
You better explain why.
Well, the toilets are weird. They're full of water, and our toilets aren't like that. Our toilets have a little bit of water, and they flush.
When they also have two flush buttons here.
Yeah, one for the number ones and number twos.
As I've discussed before.
Yeah, but the toilet's just empty. You know, you press, it doesn't actually flush like it does in New Zealand. They just sort of drain out. But anyway, yeah. But, and they don't call them toilets, they call them bathrooms.
Or John.
Yeah.
Or men's room.
I mean, the bathroom is a place where you wash yourself, you know. So when people go, want to go to the bathroom, yeah. But
are you dirty?
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I loved America. I'd love to go back there except for George Bush.
But. Yeah, well, of course, as I said before, nowadays you'd have to be fingerprinted on entry.
I know.
And don't they do a retinal scan or something like
that? Oh, yes. And with me having a little bit of dark blood in me, I'm sure they'll probably think I'm an Arab or somebody or something like that. So
yeah,
I'd be on their watch list. But so I liked America. I love Chicago. Chicago was a nice town. It is a nice town.
We went to a Cubs game there.
Yeah, we did. And I sang the national anthem.
Yes, you did. And you knew all the words.
Yes, I did.
Because we practiced before we left.
Yeah, in the car on the way to work. Yeah,
every morning, yeah.
Oh, say, can you see?
I think they probably... Well, they actually may not know the words. Because some of the people in the stadium didn't know the words. That was obvious.
That's true.
But, no, that was a good time. And we went to Chicago Fest.
No, it was Taste of Chicago.
Chicago Fest. I'm showing my age.
Yeah, yes.
That's a long gone. But we also went to the Gay Pride Parade in Chicago.
Yep. Watched all the half-naked boys. That was nice.
And a few half-naked women, too, I suppose.
Not so nice. But, hey, you know, it's their thing.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Remember we were walking down Broadway near Unabridged Books and some woman calls out, Kiwi, or something like that. Remember that? It was a lesbian couple.
Yeah, I had a t-shirt on or something like that.
Yeah, I think we both did, actually.
Yeah, I had a t-shirt on with Auckland or something like that, or a Māori design, and yeah, someone called out, but yeah.
She was Australian, actually, wasn't she?
Yeah, just my luck. I attracted lesbians from Australia.
Oh, well.
I would have liked to have attracted a few more of those Chicago men. But never mind.
Yeah, well, they didn't know where your accent was from. That was half the problem. if there was one thing that they have in America that we could have here...
Well, other than Sci-Fi Channel.
Other than Sci-Fi Channel, because they have that in Australia, apparently. What would it be?
What would it be? Oh, I don't know. It would be. It would probably be something like White Castles. Or it would be Haagen-Dazs ice cream or something like that. It'd probably be related to food, I'm sure.
Because we have all the big name brands now of fast food.
Yeah.
Except for Krispy Kreme donuts.
Oh, Krispy Kreme donuts.
Because they have those in Australia. Or Sydney, anyway.
Yeah. Yum, Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't know. I don't know. Sci-Fi Channel Krispy Kreme donut sounds good.
That's a start anyway.
Yeah.
I'm actually out of my formal questions now.
Are you?
Yeah.
So do I get to ask some questions of you?
I suppose you can if you want. Probably already said anything. But
so did I get the job?
You got that years ago. And you're still paying for it.
That's for sure. Did you... we should mention that Arthur had a crash in the car today.
I didn't. Someone hit me. It's an important distinction. It wasn't my fault. Yeah, I was...
Arthur's car is slowly getting smaller and smaller as he sort of scrunches it in from different directions.
I haven't mentioned any of that before. I hit a retaining wall with the side of the car, got that fixed. Then I hit the side of the garage with the other side of the car. Haven't gotten that fixed yet. And then tonight, I was leaving... coming home from the part-time job, and I was stopped in traffic waiting for the cars to clear, and this yuppie woman rear-ends me. So driving a company car, no less.
Well, suffice to say, Arthur doesn't drive my car very often.
I'm not allowed to.
No. Yes.
But the thing of it is that the only things like that that have happened to me have been here in New Zealand, actually here in Auckland, specifically. It never used to happen. Maybe it's old age creeping up on me or something.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, they're probably going to make me have one of those senior licenses where you can only drive, was it 10 Ks to, or whatever?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Although they actually haven't instituted that yet. They're just talking about it.
Well, that'd be a good idea for you.
How many Ks is it to that part-time job?
I have no idea. More. 18 Ks.
How's that all?
12 Ks.
Feels like forever.
I don't know. It's the other side of the city.
I don't know. It takes forever to get there.
It's over the bridge.
Over the bridge and through the woods.
Mm.
Well, it's not. It's still in the city. So we don't actually have any plans to visit America anytime soon. Probably.
No, well, hopefully all the nice people in America will come here.
Well, that would be good. We can always use more. I actually made some contact with some American expats in New Zealand. They're all living in the Wellington region for some reason.
Oh, the poor things.
They seem to like it.
Yeah, well.
They're entitled to it.
Yeah.
They can have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I visited Wellington, and I liked visiting Wellington. It was an interesting place. There's things to see, but I like living in Auckland.
Let's leave it at that, shall
Let's
we?
Leave it at that.
Yeah, absolutely, positively Wellington.
I don't know anything about Christchurch. I've only been to the airport, and that doesn't count.
It's got a bad smog problem in the winter.
Yes, it does. I've been to Dunedin. That was all right. And that's about it for cities. Well, Hamilton, Tauranga.
Mm.
That's about it.
You're rambling now.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to remember where I've been, that's all.
Okay.
Okay, well, I suppose that's good enough then.
Well, we've reached the end.
Well, I can't think of anything else, can you?
Well, I don't think I've done anything exciting.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
We could talk about Tom. Are you going to edit that out?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's naughty.
No, it's not. I edit lots of things. Well, actually, I don't. All I ever edit on my own is I take out extra ums and dead air. Because I'm trying to keep...
Are you calling me dead air?
No. Trying to keep the file size as small as possible.
Oh, okay.
So I don't run out of bandwidth, because I almost did again this month. So
do I get to say hello to Archer?
You say hello to whoever
and
you
Tom.
Want.
And Tom.
Say hello to whoever you want to.
And Calvin.
You don't know Calvin. You just heard him
mention. Well, I don't know. You talk about all these people that I don't know.
Well, at least you've heard Archer.
I have heard Archer, and I've heard Archer and the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they sound much more exciting than we do on a podcast.
Most of them do, I think.
But I think they had a few wines, haven't they?
Well, I know in the last one, in the balcony cast, I could hear the wine being poured. So.
Oh, okay. And I've heard some of Tom's.
Mm-hmm.
And we've chatted with Tom.
Yep.
And I've heard some of your groupie sessions that you guys have.
The gangbangs?
Yeah, the gangbangs you guys have. I've heard a couple of those where there's lots of talking and flaming out going on. But
I don't know what you mean.
So I hope it hasn't been too boring, peoples out there in the world.
I told you not to say that.
Oh, sorry.
I said there's nothing more boring than somebody saying, oh, I hope it's not too boring.
But in the words of Danyon Loader, I love yous.
You may not know who Danyon Loader is, dear.
Oh, who cares?
He won 2 gold medals at the Atlanta Olympics. You don't Olympics.
Have to explain it.
Just in case.
So you're going to add music to the end of this?
Probably.
Okay.
Why?
Should it be something that I choose?
If you want. I only use about 30 seconds, though.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
I've got a... Oh.
What?
I want to choose the song at the end of this.
Okay, there you go. If you like the music, I'll take credit. If you hate it...
That'd be right.
No, either way, it's Nigel's selection, what's at the end of this edition.
Okay, deal.
Yeah. That'll be your payment for being on the podcast.
Hasta la vista. Ooh, I want more payment than that. Hasta la vista.
So is that it? Got anything else you want to say to the people?
Well, it must be time for bed already, I'm sure.
Well, it's getting near to.
Yeah.
Because I probably should mention that this is actually a start and stop podcast several times because we actually started recording 2 days ago and then the power went out. And so we couldn't complete
and
it.
No third world jokes, thank you.
Oh, did you see the third world
I jokes? Did. I'm down on him.
He's a nice guy. Give him a break.
No, I'm down on him.
Talk about Nick in Paris.
No, I'm down on him.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that's it then.
Okay.
Well, thank you for listening, and always feel free to leave a comment on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, or send an email to me at amarins@yahoo.com, or you can send an email to Nigel and I might forward it. Depends on what it says.
Oh, and I might even forward you a photo of Arthur.
Now. Did you see Archer's suggestion?
Yeah, I did.
I thought that was a good one.
It'll take you a lot of... How often do you have to put a photo up?
1 year for every week.
1 year for every week? Yeah. Oh, God, we'll be here for another 10 years.
Now, hang on a minute.
They do know you're a... what do you call it? A chicken lover or a...
In your dreams.
That's outrageous.
There's 5 years between us.
5 years? Five between years. Who?
You and me, yeah.
Get out of here.
5 years.
15 at
In
least.
In your dreams.
It's 15 at least.
5 years.
15 at least. I'm sure... No, my parents lied to me.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
I'm the baby of the family.
No, actually, I've got a younger brother. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I have two. He's adopted.
Nah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on my podcast.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you. Bye.
Go to bed.
Okay. Bye-bye.
To. must be happy in his world.